here at AirVenture 1985.
Okay, thank you. We're back at Whitman Field in Oshkosh, and Chuck, we were telling you that the Concorde is about to land. Rob, if you want to pan up there and zoom down, Rob Snyder, our photographer out here, there, ladies and gentlemen, is the British Airways SST Concorde. They're calling it Mach 2 to Oshkosh. Quite a historic event. The first time a plane of this magnitude has ever come into the Middle West. This plane flies at supersonic speeds. It is not allowed to fly supersonic over the United States. It has flown at subsonic speed since it departed Kennedy Airport. And to tell you how fast it is, it left at 5:05 our time, so 1 hour and 5 minutes from Kennedy to Whitman Field in Oshkosh. The Concorde coming in now. I think a lot of people that are not familiar with aviation expect that this is going to be a very large plane, comparable to the 747. No way. It really in size is, for those of you that are familiar, comparable to like the DC-9s that Republic and Eastern and all the other major airlines carry. From the way I can see right now, the Concorde is about 250 feet above the south end of the runway, and she's coming in. Quite a historic event, and Chuck, technically we can call Whitman Field as soon as this baby touches down an international airport, because this being an international airplane makes the airport international, at least for this duration of this event. I'm just going to shut my yap here, and we can listen to this, and probably in the background you can hear the tower talking to the aircraft.
Landing configuration, that nose is movable on that airplane. It tilts down to give them a better view of the runway.
As soon
as that touches down, Jerry, wrap it up. There you go, a touchdown at 6:10:10 is the touchdown time at Whitman Field, the British Airways SST Concorde. Boy, what a beautiful plane. Listen to this thing. Chuck, a historic event. You can hear the people clapping in the background, and she'll be coming back around, and let's go send her back to you in Green Bay, Chuck.
Well, as you can see, when Concorde came in that night, the crowd was huge. We guesstimated it was around 200,000 people. And what Captain John Cook did on that landing, nobody knew about, the touch and go. Not even the people up in the tower knew. And I've been told I cannot repeat what the people in the tower said. Concorde needed a minimum of a runway of 6,000 feet. The runway here at that time, the north-south runway, was 6,001 feet. And Captain Cook says, I can do it if I touch down right at the start. In 1988, when she came back, the runway had been extended to 8,001 feet. Captain Cook very refreshingly said, that's my cushion. Do any of you remember anything that happened to you when you were 2 years old? I don't. Somebody back there does. You're pretty good. The gentleman who's running the camera right over here is our son, Christopher. He was 2 years old when Concorde came in that very first time. And it made a heck of an impression on him, so much so that when it came in 1988, he wanted and just said, Dad, I gotta go out there, I gotta go out there. And you see here on the screens now, he got to meet Captain John Cook, who was the most gracious man, and spent several minutes with Chris and me, and it was a memorable moment. That is a prized photo in our family. Christopher has been out here for the last 16 years working camera theater in the woods, and he fulfilled one of his dreams. His bucket list started early. He got to fly Concorde in 1994 when EAA asked us to bring her in from Toronto, and he subsequently wrote an article for Sporty Aviation for Kids about that experience. So I'm very proud of him, what he did for that, and I'm glad we were able to fly her. That's for you, bud. Sadly, aviation lost Captain John in 2005. What a gracious man he was. But we are very privileged this evening to have with us another Concorde pilot, Captain Richard Westray. Captain Richard arrived Cassie, where's Cassie? There she is, his bride is right down here in front. Their first time ever here at Oshkosh. Let's give them a nice Oshkosh welcome. Captain Westray became a pilot because of that bird, the Concorde. Why don't you tell him why, Rich? Because when you were just a little shaver, when she started flying around, and you did get to fulfill your dream.
Absolutely, yeah. I when it was being built, I got very interested in it. And I was having flying lessons on the very day in 1969 when it made its maiden flight. The British one made its maiden flight out of Filton, and I put it in my mind then that my career wouldn't be complete unless I flew Concorde. Took me a while to get there, but with seniority and everything else, but I made it in 1998 onto the fleet for the last 5 years of its life, and boy, what a beautiful airplane.
A little side note for you, Brian Trabshaw was the test pilot for Concorde when she flew in 1969, and his mother, it was being carried live on British television, and his mother just, she was too nervous to watch it until the doorbell rang. There goes the KC-46. The doorbell rang and it was a Sea Scout, and he said, "Ma'am, I'm here, I need to raise some money so I can go to school." She says, "You came here just in time, my lad. Get in here and watch my son fly the Concorde. I will pay you a week's wages." It was the fastest week of wages he ever earned. Anyway. Richard, you said you started to fly the Concorde in 1998. That was a mere 2 years before we had that tragedy in Paris, where we lost an Air France Concorde. We'll get into what he flew before that, but tell me what the first time you crawled into the cockpit, what was that like?
It was absolutely amazing. What I like to compare it with is, if you're a bus driver and every day you get in your bus and drive it around the streets or whatever town you live in, and suddenly the owner of the bus company parks a Lamborghini or a Ferrari outside your front door and say, "This is yours now," you feel wonderful. You get in that car and it wraps itself around you and off you go at some fantastic speed. And Concorde was the same. I just couldn't believe that I was sitting in the flight deck of that airplane on my first flight on it. Done the simulator, of course, before, but to actually sit in the flight deck with all the instruments humming and whirring, the flight engineer ready to start the engines. It was an amazing experience.
Is it fair to say it was like being in a kid in a candy store?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, obviously, it's an airplane that requires a lot of concentration at critical phases of flight. So although I felt, you know, really happy, I knew that my future on Concorde depended on me doing everything right the way the training department, British Airways, wanted me to do it. So there's a lot of responsibility there, and I just could not believe that I had a very, very valuable airplane in my hands with some very, very valuable passengers sitting behind me. It was, it's like a dream.
When Concorde crashed on July 25th, 2000, your reaction and the rest of the people who flew Concorde, because it was really a privilege to fly that bird.
It was. I mean, we were obviously all very depressed. I happened to be in New York at the time and preparing to fly back to the UK. And we heard about the crash as we got to the airport to prepare the airplane for departure. And after a conference with my management team in London, it was decided to suspend that day's service for the following day. So myself and my crew, I had to tell the crew, the female flight attendants that we had were obviously in tears, and none of us could really believe that this plane had actually crashed. We returned to the hotel, we drowned our sorrows a little bit, and fortunately the next day the airline decided to get the operation going again, and we hoped that the airplane would not die and it would live on, and in fact, as it did, at least for a few years anyway.
Mike, if you can pull up that one picture about that I talked to you about, Concorde's very final flight. The final commercial flight was on October 3rd of 2003, and it was from Kennedy to Heathrow in London. And the tickets for that bird were at a premium. A couple bought tickets on eBay just so they could fly it. They paid $100,000 for that flight. The very last flight is this particular one. This is where Concorde is. She's flying over the Bristol Suspension Bridge. If you, I think you can see it on the monitors that are around the theater here. You can see the crowd on the suspension bridge and those are there by the castle. That was Concorde going in for the final time. She was parked and that was it. And that was on November 26th of 2003. And that's been the end of Concorde. The 13 that were left, Air France owns 6, British Airways own the other 7. They are all now in museums. There was an attempt to bring a Concorde for static display permanently here. It never got too far off the base. The only Concorde, well, there's 2 in the States. One's in New York, that's the British Airways, and there's an Air France one at the Smithsonian. If you get a chance to go and see those, please do. It's just worth everything.